You're listening to Clack Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
We had new albums from Tyler, the Creator.
Yep.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yep.
And DJ Khaled.
Let's start with Megan Thee Stallion because that'll be the shortest conversation.
So,
actually, let's sandwich her. Never mind. Let's start with Megan. I'm sorry.
No, it was more like that was just a really, really unfortunate way to say that.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Let's talk about her second. Let's talk about Khaled first.
Okay, let's talk about Khaled.
Yeah. What did it come off disrespectful?
Boy. I don't even know where to start with DJ Khaled right now. I sort of have like a big overall comment on this album. And then we could talk about individual songs if you want.
Okay.
Because I don't really feel a need to go track by track unless you want to.
Not really in detail.
Okay. When he started making albums, the thing about Khaled's albums is he was bringing together all these rappers and singers who normally you couldn't find on a track together. It wasn't commonplace to have, oh, you got this person and this person. And they've never, like, that was his thing. That plus he's going to make the big anthem for the summer, right? That was kind of his MO for the first couple years. And then it became, sure, we could do the anthems, but also, you know, stuff like No Brainer and was it I'm On One? No, wait, what was the one?
I just saw somewhere that I'm On One turned
I'm
9 years
it was,
old.
It was I'm the
I'm
One.
I'm the One.
Right.
Say, I'm On One, I'm the One.
Yeah, you know, we're old.
One Blood. Whatever.
Oh, man. I will... Sorry. Every time I think of the game One Blood song, I always think of the time I went into... when I used to go down to New York and play beats for Spot. Shout out to Spot.
Spot.
Where he was working out of Jimmy Henchman's offices. And I would go in there. And I went in there. Like, this is when One Blood was like number one on 106 and Park.
Uh-huh.
So let me tell you, it was all game all the time in there.
Hmm.
Anyway.
In the Jimmy Henchman offices?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because he managed game, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, so like it used to be, it was anthems and then sort of novelty collaborations. And then it was, yeah, we're still collaborating. We're bringing together like really big names like, oh, look, I got Jay-Z and Beyonce with Future. Or along with these pop hits like I'm the One and No Brainer. But like the idea of people collaborating isn't what it was 12 years ago when he first was doing these albums. People collaborate. Weird collaborations of people happens like all the time now. It's not unique anymore.
Give me an example.
Something recent. That's not a Khaled. I think just in general, yes. Like, okay, so.
I guess you could say the YG record.
Sure. I mean,
YG, Nicki, Big Sean, I think 2 Chainz. That sounds like a Khaled record. Just
yeah.
On paper.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just feel like that sort of stuff isn't exclusive to like a DJ Khaled album anymore to me.
Sure.
I feel like I feel like weird collaboration. Like when we were, I mean, we'll get really old, right? But like 20 years ago, like fans would like speculate about like, oh, what if like it was like a imagine if these people worked together.
It still happens on a indie level.
The thing is like, honestly, like artists like Kanye who have this habit of like bringing all these random people in, like you get these combinations that used to never exist. And yeah. So like the bar for what is possible is like, sure, I could see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's one thing. So like to me, Khaled can't get by on the novelty anymore. Like of, I brought together these three people who've never been on a song together. And people were like, nah, okay. Right?
Sure.
And also, I sort of feel like, you know, there's a core group of producers that he likes to rely on.
Sure.
Right? He loves
he's,
to work
he's
with,
always done that.
He works with Ben Billions. He works with Street Runner. And they're all over this album too. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there have been times in TJ Khaled's career when those people have had a more timely sound than they maybe do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, to me, I'm left with an album where it's like, all right, well, you've got, you know, I don't know. like, to me, this is an album that's kind of like, okay, there's some stuff here that's fine. What was fascinating is, like, I was listening to stuff because Top Off and No Brainer are on here, both from last year. Mm-hmm. That made me go through and as I'm listening to stuff, and I was like, is this from last year or is this from this year? Trying to figure out, like, because this album's been cooking for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Top Off and No Brainer came out last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right? So, like, I'm, as I was listening to each song, I was like,
oh, okay, you're doing that with each song. Got it.
Right. I don't really have much to say about Holy Mountain.
It's not my bag. Reggae's not my bag. So right. I immediately skipped it.
Right. But like when I heard that Tay Keith Wish beat, I was like, oh yeah, that's last year. Right. Because Tay Keith was the guy last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, Khaled reached, you know, went and got him some Tay Keith beats in
2018. Oh yeah. Because that's right. Because I think Cardi tweeted out that she was pregnant when she recorded that verse. And she talked about how difficult it was because she was like, I want to say she was third trimester. So she was like tired while she was recording the verse.
But also, like, Tay Keith is already, and this is just an amazing indication of how fast this industry works now. Tay Keith is already like trying to switch his sound up. So like I heard that and I was like, that's definitely a 2018 Tay Keith B. He's already, I mean, I'll give him credit. He doesn't want to be pigeonholed.
He saw what happened to Lex Luger.
Right. And so like we can talk about Wish if you want, but like, so like as an example of that, like Tay Keith produces Jealous, right? Which does not sound like a regular Tay Keith beat. So like, I don't know, like Wish was fine.
I liked Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it.
I like 21 on it. Cardi sounds fine. It's not an A grade Tay Keith beat. I've heard 21 Savage on a doper Tay Keith beat. I'm like, okay, this is fine.
Sure.
I'm cool.
Sure. I like the my chopper pays half the rent because it stays with me. I like that line. That was funny. We talked about that, how 21's like the new 2 Chainz, right? Just saying like really clever, like clever, stupid stuff, but it's like really entertaining. Yeah. Yeah. I liked Wish, but that's Katy Perry, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't like Jealous.
Well, look, if you see Chris Brown and Lil Wayne on a song together in a DJ Khaled album, you can just skip it. It's fine.
Yeah.
The odds of that being dope are like so slim.
Yeah.
We're just gonna.
I feel like Chris Brown just like, I don't know. He just has a bunch of hooks just sitting there. That's what he does all day is just record hooks.
I think Khaled's just got like he has a Dropbox folder, Chris Brown hooks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whew. But do you want to talk about your girl, the SZA, doing a song, going to YouTube and typing in Miss Jackson karaoke instrumental? What is this?
We're old, man.
Like it's like no, because we're gonna talk about something later that I texted you about last night. We're like, I'm not angry at people because it happens a couple times on this album. Sometimes it's not bad, other times it's woof. And so I'm not mad at people taking early 2000s, late 90s records, adding like some Jalo Beats drums on it and moderning it up, right? I'm not mad at that. But this I would like to know if SZA fans like this song.
Yeah, because like it doesn't really fit her
at all.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's such, that beat is so. I feel like the whole idea for that is basically Khaled's just like, it's like he just wanted the shock value of it almost, right? Like, yeah, no, I just heard it and I was just like, this is just a bad idea. Outkast stuff is really, really hard to sample.
Yeah.
They're so unique.
Yeah.
And that is not a song I would do.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Do you want to talk about You Stay?
Which one is that?
That's Meek, Lil Baby, Jeremiah.
What Puff is that? That's Senorita, right?
Yeah.
Off No Way Out?
Yeah.
Like they like Meek accidentally walked into a box.
Okay. What box is that?
The Latin box.
I thought you were going to say. He walked into the I'm gonna sample 90s bad boy box.
I mean, it could just be 90s New York hip hop because he later pops up on another infamous sample from that era.
Right.
No, they got J Balvin, so they went in that bag, but they're like, Meek did Uptown Vibes. Burr, 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 burr. And then Meek is like, all right, he just walked into another box.
Yeah.
But nah, on this one. Though I don't, unlike me hating the SZA beat, I don't hate this beat. I'm just not crazy about the song.
Correct. Same here.
This is where I don't need like a group of guys talking about a girl. 2019 is weird. So weird, man. We're in a weird time. But I'm good on this record. I'm straight.
Were you excited by the first time collaboration of Travis Scott and Post Malone?
Listen, Travis Scott got to go sit down somewhere.
This is bad. Not good, Travis.
I like your ones, like they're dope. I'm working on something. They'll be coming to me really soon. I don't need to hear, like, I don't know what was the last Travis Scott record. Like, what was it? Sicko Mode?
He put out.
And what? Maybe 5% 10?
He had a really good album last year. He can just relax.
He can just relax. And he's like, he's in that Jenner Kardashian wheelhouse. And nobody in that house sits down and relaxes. I that's another thing. I want to go to the big three. I want to see Lamar Odom play.
Oh.
I don't want to call you what I don't want to call you what I want to call you on the show.
What do you want to call me?
Nope. It's a family show.
Now wait just a minute.
You said aw. Ah, you're a dirtbag. All right. Yeah. No, I'm good on this is terrible.
Yeah. Not
absolutely
good.
Not.
All right. Your man Nipsey Hussle and your man John Legend.
Whoa.
Do you think he's upset that Kanye hasn't called him out for Sunday service yet?
That's funny.
Anyway.
He's probably too expensive now. Like, why would he do that when he just gets some kid who's inspired by John Legend for much cheaper for the opportunity?
So we get Higher.
Yeah. How do you feel about this, Doc?
I think it's all right. I think it's all right.
You like the beat switch?
Sure. Look, I think it's a Street Runner DJ Khaled special. I think it's fine. I know. Yeah. People are going to feel some kind of way about it because it was like one of the last things he did before he passed on.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to separate that from, from the actual song itself. I got to say, like, I'm sure like some of this is kind of true, whatever. But like I saw DJ Khaled post, I think it was like Twitter, Instagram, you know, it was one of those things where it's like a wall of text on an image. And he was like, you know, it was something like, you know, after much, you know, thought and deliberation. Like,
yeah.
I was like, listen.
I want to talk about that.
Okay, go, please, please. Because I'm reading that and I was like, look, I mean, yes, good. You talked to the family, got their permission. But like, let's all be 100% honest, right? At some point, people are going to stop by the Marathon Continues clothing. The streams dry up. Like, yeah, the family's going to approve it. Right? He already shot the video. It's not like you're. It's not like you're asking to like have him be have him be like Tupac at Coachella. Like you're not doing that, right? Bruh. It's an already released thing. It's fine. It's the single. They're gonna love. You know, like yeah, like that's all fine. But like, it was one of those things where it was almost like you know. It's like when a politician's like, after like a tragedy happens, they're like, thoughts and prayers. It's like, you know, okay, cool. Or when somebody retires from like political office and they're like, you know, I just want to spend time with my family. And it's like, nah, you probably got like a sweet like lobbying job lined up or you might have some sort of like scandal lying around that you want to get out in front of. Like nobody quits to spend more time with their family.
Yo, you are pessimistic. Doc is in the building.
So, like, I read this and I was like, it was one of those things. It was almost like, what problem did he think he was solving by posting that? Did he assume there was going to be pushback?
I think so. I think I understand why he posted it, because on one hand, I'm not upset because those pictures and video of Nipsey at that shoot came out before he passed.
Exactly.
So they knew that they were working on something and this was already going to be a single. So it reminds me of, the song itself reminds me of like how fans treated Scarface's Smile, where it's like, it's a cool song, but because it's like Tupac's last song, people love it.
Listen, Tupac was in that video. I don't care what anybody says.
I gotta watch it again. That was like, that was peak conspiracy theorist Tupac. And I was right there with you. I'm gonna watch it again.
He's in it.
But it's like, it's so, I guess what bothered me about the text or the post or whatever was like, you're kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? You're using Nipsey to sell
clout
your album. Now I wouldn't call it clout chasing. It's subtle. If it's clout chasing, it's very subtle. It's not an overt clout chase. It's not like, yo, we got Snoop Dogg, Game, and Dr. Dre in the studio, and we're mixing these Nipsey Hussle vocals after he passed, man. We gonna do, like, shut up. I don't care. But it's like, it's a subtle clout chase because people want it. Like, Nipsey mania is at an all-time high. You know, people want stuff from him. He's got stuff laying around where I'm sure they can put out music for quite a while if they so choose, and I'm sure they will. But it was like, it's a gentleman's clout chase. That's what it is. It's a gentleman's clout chase. A man comes to your house. He has a nice suit on. He knocks on your door. He gives you a nice pamphlet. You know, he sits in your house, talks to you, talks to your mom. Really nice. But he's going to clout chase. Like that, that's.
Isn't the easy way to isn't the obvious thing just to, you know, just to be like, listen, here's the deal. All proceeds from this, from sales and streams of the single are going to go to the whatever Nipsey Hussle Foundation exists, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all good. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So basically you didn't like, more than the execution, you didn't like the language of the post.
It was the sort of, I don't know. It felt a little self-righteous.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I don't like that.
Absolutely.
I hate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That was fine. Now, how do you feel about the actual song?
I like it. I like it. I like it. John, whoa, hi. Don't you know that the devil is a liar? Oh my God. Hilarious. I forgot about Negro Spiritual John Legend. He, some of our fans, friends of the show, shout out to my man Dre. He reminded me of our slander of John Legend in the early days of Clock Radio Speakers, the most tumultuous time of the show, when we paralleled him to Negro Spirituals, Wading in the Water, John Legend. And he returned. He's back with a vengeance. I don't know where his wife is. She's, you know, hanging with the kids, or she's got a modeling gig, a TV gig somewhere, so John can get back in his roots. He gets on the piano.
He's like, here's what I need. I need the piano on the roof. Don't
in
ask
between
any questions.
So he does. So Khaled gets a car. Nipsey gets a car, and John Legend's like, no, no, no.
Like, listen.
Did the piano have wheels on it? Was there an engine inside? Where is the steering wheel and the keys?
He flips it up. It's like a transformer.
Yes! Oh. It's powered by his voice.
Oh no.
So he has to keep singing to get to his destination.
He'd be the world's worst Uber driver. He'd just try to have some peace and quiet, he just keeps singing.
Yeah, they can't press the quiet button on John. Oh, Oh, my stomach hurts. That's my core work for the day.
It's like you get in the Uber and you see the guy, he's got the one Bluetooth headphone in, and you're like, okay, he's gonna take some calls. But it turns around, it's John Legend, and he's singing the whole time.
Whoa, where you headed, young man? I know a shortcut around the road. Yeah. with that said, I like the song. I think the beat switch is dope. I like the record. And I think this is just what's gonna happen with all of Nipsey's music. It's just gonna sound eerie and prophetic and profound, much like Tupac's music did. Well, when you talk about death a lot and then you die, that's what it sounds like. So I'm not gonna chalk that up to he knew and he made sure. Like, I'm not gonna jump on that plane so easy, but listen,
nothing will ever top the weirdness of the I Ain't Mad At You video.
That was creepy.
The cover of Machiavelli.
Okay, you want to get into Shook Shot Me.
We can ignore Shook Shot Me, but then, you know, he's in the Smile video.
I'm about to pull this video right now.
Now,
I hate that song.
I don't mind it.
I hate that song.
Smile for me now. Well, yeah, it's fine.
Whoa, won't you smile? I'm like... Okay, where's he at? Oh, yeah, he was like walking around with... Right. I forgot he was crucified. They crucified him on like electric wires.
Yeah,
that's not Tupac.
No,
nah.
You know what the problem is? We all had bad TVs then.
We did. Yeah, watching this on like a 4K screen is like, yeah, that's not Tupac. Mm. Dang it, the joy is gone.
Johnny P on the hook, man. Shut up, Johnny P.
I think he passed away.
Oh no.
I feel like he did.
Produced, of course, by Mike Dean.
There you go. You said Johnny P, right?
Yeah. That's
Po' Pimp.
Yeah. Or the sequel, which I love. I'm the only person on the
planet who loves that. Still Po' Pimpin' was hard too.
Do you want to ride with me? Oh yeah.
Oh, Johnny P doesn't have a wiki.
He doesn't, but he passed away. I see a Complex article, 2016.
Oh man, it's trash, man. Rest in peace, Johnny P.
Hmm.
Ride, whoa, ride. Man, where were you at the first time? You know where you were the first time you heard Twista's verse on Po' Pimp.
Oh. I mean, yeah. Like, so that was 96.
Yeah.
So I'm 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
13. Yeah.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah. I definitely, like, I knew all the verses for Po' Pimp.
It's a great record.
It's a great record.
I prefer Player Like Me and You.
Because I know how you feel about singles.
Yeah. No. But Po' Pimp's one of those ones where, like, it didn't get played out. Like, that, if it got played out, it got played out on Rap City, which wasn't really played out.
Man, I used to get excited when that came out on Rap City.
Yep. It's a good record. Do you remember Higher?
No.
Do you remember the records they did with Kanye?
Higher.
I'm about to play it. They did two records with Kanye. Well, I'm going. I got it.
You're a genius, boy.
I know you remember
this.
Oh,
yeah. Those bongos.
Oh, that's 05 Kanye.
I know.
They had another record. And then there's a video of Kanye creating the beat. Was it Pay the Price? Here it is. Hold on. There's a lot going on.
Oh, this one.
Yep.
Yeah. History in the making. Do or die. Yeah. There's a lot going on in this beat.
And do a die, got maneuvers. Po' Pimp tactics all in one package. Hollering at a chick that could have been the actress. Right now her back is laying on my mattress. While your team pissed like...
In 05, that record was hard.
Yeah.
Now?
I know.
Oh, man. Anyway. Yes.
So
let's move on.
Your man Nas and your man CeeLo Green pop up on Won't Take My Soul.
Yo, question.
Uh-huh.
Did this record just pop up on streaming services?
I think so. Yeah, why?
Okay, because so I've heard this album maybe like four times, and I went back today to listen to it, and this was my first time hearing the Nas and CeeLo record.
Hmm.
I feel like on Spotify it didn't have it.
So how do you think Steve Stout felt when he heard this verse from Nas? Cause like he's like, I didn't have a dame, I didn't have a puff, I didn't have a shook. Meanwhile, my entire teenage years consisted of Nas shouting out the commissioner.
The commissioner, yep. The commissioner Steve Stout, yeah.
Trackmaster. I mean, like all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, this song is fine.
I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, it's fine. You want to talk about your man Meek Mill rapping over Beanie Siegel samples?
Doc, I told you in 2015 to make a beat out of that sample, and you were like,
Yeah. I mean, just because he did it doesn't mean it's a good idea.
But it's like, I feel like we could have made it into a good idea.
Well, there's still time.
I don't want to rap that song anymore.
So how do you feel about it?
It's loud.
It's true.
It's loud.
It's true. It's a Meek Mill song. It's going to be loud.
Yeah, it's loud. I'm good.
I could see Meek Mill revisiting a lot of Rockefeller samples.
Absolutely.
That's right in his wheelhouse.
Didn't he do he did Mama Loves Me on his last album, right?
Yeah, that's right. Just right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what beat I really liked at first?
Mm.
Big Boy Talk.
This is my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, like it's not bad.
Yeah. But I've noticed everybody our age likes this song.
Well, because Jeezy sounds like old Jeezy.
Yeah. Yeah. Little raspier.
You know, but like he's even doing that. He's doing the Jeezy ad-libs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ross is Ross.
Can we talk about Ross for a second?
Go ahead.
I mean, let's get all the big boy talk out the way. And then we can talk about Ross.
Okay. The less said about freaking you, the better.
Oh, I thought we were okay. Never mind.
I mean, Big Boy Talk it's cool. It's fine. I don't think it's amazing, but it's good.
It's solid. And it's my favorite record on the album. There's one other song that I really, really like on this album that we're going to get to.
Okay.
So
you want to talk about Ross?
Yeah. So Ross dropped the Port of Miami 2 freestyle last night.
Yes, he did.
Where he took the Giorgio Moroder sample that Mobb Deep used on It's Mine. Slowed it down and added some trap drums over it. And 2019 Wake Up is pacing around his house in subtle anticipation. How did you hear that record?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it?
I thought it was good. I mean, yeah. I heard that and I thought to myself two things. I was like, all right, number one, like Ross can do this kind of record whenever he wants.
Absolutely.
But then I'm always like, I mean, it's an interesting like thing to ask as a fan. It's like, wow, he can just do stuff like that all the time. But then it's like, all right, what else he got? Like, on the one hand, the idea of a Ross album that sounds entirely like an album full of Santorini Greases would be like, oh. But then also like, I don't know, do you want to hear the same song 12 times? Maybe.
Yes.
Okay, see, right, that's what I mean. I think it's, you know, it all depends. I don't know. It was good. Ross is flowing, but like, I don't know. I want to see what he's got. I want some beats that, I mean, this is the thing about a Rick Ross album. I want some beats that blow me away. Cause like my list of like best beats for 2019 right now is looking pretty slim.
Yeah.
So like, let's see what you got, Rick. Let's see what you got.
Yeah. It sort of reminded me of Mafia Music too. It reminded me of like where Ross used to like flood. He used to flood the internet with a lot of music before his album came out. I'm hoping that's what we see here because Ross has been working for so long. I don't need another mixtape. So I don't need him to do Black Market and then Black Dollar because in that case, I just wish that you would have taken the best records from Black Market and Black Dollar and put them on one project. Because that album would have been amazing had that happened. But
Dollar Market, you know, sounds like a dollar store.
Dollar Market. But I thought this record was dope. And I agree, like, he could do this all day. And that's kind of what I want him to do.
Right.
A mix between this and then talking about, like, you know, investments and IRAs and working out and getting into shape. Ross is one of those people, much like another artist we're going to talk about later, where he's just reached that echelon with me where it's very hard for me to not like what he does. Like, he's just kind of got country. He has to kind of, like, where Kanye is, Drake is, Jay, where it's like, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to be good. And as long as it's not consistently trash, I'm satisfied. And I think I've just been waiting on Port of Miami 2 for a long time. And I think that the Nipsey stuff is starting to die down. I think he was going to gear up a little earlier, but I think Nipsey passed, from what I'm hearing, Nipsey's pass kind of pushed a lot of things back in the industry, not just Khaled's album, but like a few people had some things going. And out of respect for Nipsey, they just kind of pushed it back. And it would have been kind of, on top of respect, I think it also just wouldn't have been smart, because a lot of artists just would have got lost in that cloud. But I'm ready for Ross. I'm ready.
I love how, like, and I love, it's so interesting to me, like, it's tremendous, really, like, the amount of respect being shown to Nipsey, like, shows how valued he was in the industry. But, like, how long did Puff wait before he was dancing around after Big Time? Like,
that's a good question. Big died in March of 97. When did I'll Be Missing You come out? April.
And they had to shoot the video because it debuted as a video.
Yeah, it did.
So they had to shoot the video.
Yeah.
And this is before, like, digital. So, like, that was film, which means editing. So it wasn't that long.
So does that mean that Puff already knew that Big was going to die?
Don't know. Listen, you just told me that Tupac's not a smile video. I don't want to hear any more conspiracy.
Oh, man. All right. Khaled.
Sorry. I'm now trying to see if there's, like, a making of. Okay. So I'll Be Missing You. I need a making of the I'll Be Missing You video. All right. Anyway, keep going.
It's 100% available. I know it is.
Freaking You. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Dog. I want who produced that so I can find them and release hounds on them.
Khaled, of course, along with Ben Billions, some guy named Joe Zarillo. Yeah. It's not good, man.
Yeah, that's terrible. That was a terrible idea.
It's not good.
That was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
No.
I heard it and I was just no.
And you sped it up.
Yeah.
Like, in this era, you can keep it the same tempo and still chop it, and it would be fine. Like, no. But I don't think that's a record that you sample. Why hasn't anybody taken the remix?
Freaking You remix.
Don't do that. Are you serious?
I want to make sure I got...
You got stacks like the International House of Pancakes? Or are you trying to see if somebody has sampled it?
I was thinking... Well, that has been... Didn't Bieber and Raekwon? Wait, am I thinking of the right thing?
No, they sampled Nothing to F With for the Good Friday.
No, there was definitely something.
Bieber and Raekwon?
Is that right? Well, that was Runaway Love. I guess that's Runaway Love. Was I thinking of something else?
Yeah, that was Runaway Love.
I swear, like, there was a song that... Am I thinking of the right thing? I don't know, man. Maybe not. You know what, actually, so anyway, you know what really, I went to genius.com, which sometimes is a bad idea because I forget that, some people who go to genius.com are like 20 years younger than me. And there's an article on genius.com. The title is DJ Khaled's Freaking You samples a 1995 hit by Jodeci. And I just wanted to be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're old, dog.
I know, but I was just like, really? Tell me more.
A 1995 hit by Jodeci. Like, come on, man. That's trash.
So after that, we get Top Off, which we've heard before.
Yo, them sneaking this on the album is hilarious.
Oh, I mean, I know why it's there.
Of course. They paid big money. Khaled paid big money for that record.
Right. And then same with No Brainer.
Absolutely. Bieber's not cheap.
I mean, Chance wasn't cheap. Quavo wasn't cheap. No, nobody's cheap on that.
Right.
And then we
in business, do you take a cut when you re-up? You know what I'm saying? So they did the first record, it blew up. So then when you say, we want to make another hit, do you charge more? Does the label open the budget up and you say you're going to pay us more to make the same kind of record? Or do you take a loss on the front end and say, okay, we want to do the record, we'll take less up front because we know that it's going to be a hit in the back end. And then in this case, it just didn't work that way.
No brainer actually was a hit.
Was it?
Yeah.
Guess that's a no-brainer. I've never heard that song before in my life.
Really?
Nah.
Oh, yeah. That was everywhere last year.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Hold on.
It peaked at number 2. No, wait. Is that right? Hold on. No, it peaked at number 5 last summer.
Really?
Yeah. Did way better than Top Off.
Top Off probably didn't even hit Billboard, did it?
No, it went to number 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess I always forget that Wild Thoughts was like actually like a pretty popular song. Hello.
Wild Thoughts was huge.
Yeah, I know. I just, of course, DJ Khaled thought that was a sample that should be used. He has a history with this stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised those two songs are on there. Like they both got pretty good size streams and they're going to help that. They're going to help that number for him. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
You want to talk about your man, Shondon?
Yes. Now, when we talk about sampling Jodeci Freaking You in 1995.
Yeah.
And how bad of an idea it is. Let me just make sure before I make this declaration, because I'm pretty sure what this is. But who...
I'll tell you what it is if you want it.
Tell me.
It's Thank You, Lord, Interlude by Mary J. Blige.
Who and why... Do we not, all those Bad Boy interludes just sitting out there and nobody sampled them until now? Like, this is fire. I really like this record.
Mm.
This record is really, really dope. Really, really dope. I love the sample, like Sean's rapping. Record's dope. This should have been the outro instead of, I was about to say something real bad, before the actual outro.
Right. I think, I'm ready for another Big Sean record.
Yeah, it's time. I'm sure he's dropping. He'll probably drop like middle of the. I think he'll drop something in July, August. I'd say.
Yeah, he could drop whenever. But
yeah,
yeah, I like this song.
Yeah,
I like Sean. It's been a little while. Like he definitely has the kind of style where like you hear too much of it at once, and you're like, all right, I'm cool.
Yep.
But it's been a while. I'm good.
Yep. Agreed.
Wow, we spent way more time on the DJ Khaled album than I thought.
Yeah, we did.
Probably because we laughed a lot about John Legend as an Uber driver. So do you still think that like a DJ Khaled album is like a moment like in hip hop where it's like, okay, we got a new DJ Khaled album. Everybody stop and listen.
No, because there are no moments with this album. Yeah. Nipsey was the moment, but Nipsey was the moment because he passed, not because of the music.
Right.
The music was secondary because of what he was talking about. So... No, Khaled is going to have to do, and I think that's kind of what led to him, how he rolled the album out, because we didn't even talk about that. We didn't talk about, you know, no singles beforehand. Track listing was leaked maybe like a couple of hours before. He dropped like 4 or 5 videos in one day, 2 videos the next, and another 2 videos maybe 2 days after that. Like, you know, they talked about his street team presence. And yeah, like we didn't really, there was really not as much focus on like the front end finding the moment. And then that leads to the question like, well, was Nipsey always supposed to be the moment? I don't think so. I think all the videos was probably going to be the moment. But yeah, I don't know if that happens with this Khaled method of doing stuff. Like what does Khaled do in 2019 when like all of his plays have kind of played themselves out? So I think this is it for Asad. Asad's going to have to start talking now. Your Snapchat play is over because people, you know, Snapchat isn't this like roaring thing. Like it's not dead by any means, but it's not what it was when Khaled was popping on it. Like you said, the collaboration isn't what it used to be. So now that's not your play. Those are all your plays. So what do you do?
You just keep grinding out records.
Okay.
You keep chasing that elusive collaboration that's going to be a hit, right? Like he tried Jay and Beyonce, and that was fine. But like for a Jay and Beyonce song, it underperformed.
Absolutely.
But you just keep doing it.
Like he pretty much, yeah. Did we talk about, I guess he can do that forever though, because he opened up for J&B on a run too.
Right.
And his set was, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. He didn't even play all of his records. He could have, but he was playing like other people's records. I think he played all his records up front. So he can play All I Do Is Win until the cows come home.
That's right.
What he could do now is kind of start reintroducing some of his other records that were maybe hits at the time and just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Because a lot of his time, he doesn't hang his hat on We Taking Over at all.
Right.
And All I Do Is Win is the most notable, but We Taking Over is his best record besides I'm On One. He doesn't talk about that at all. Does he start playing I'm Fed Up Now? Does he bring back Out Here Grinding? Does Brown Paper Bag get more spins?
Oh man, where's Ace Hood?
Man, don't do that. Does Holla At Me Baby? Does that get a flashlight on it?
People forget how big Bugatti was.
Yeah, Ace Hood had records. What was the other record? I just heard it.
Hustle Hard.
No, Hustle Hard. No, I was gonna say Grammy Family is Khaled's record.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right. You want to talk quickly about Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah. So, okay. So she put out a record, right? She put out an album called Fever, right?
Yep.
Excuse me. This is how unfamiliar I am with the Megan Thee Stallion brand. My first reaction was, well, why isn't Big Ol' Freak on the album?
Right.
But that was on her last album.
Right.
And so 300 was like, oh, it caught fire. And 300 was like, nope, got to put an album out right now. And there's this. So I guess let's talk about the music first. And then I kind of want to ask a conversation about in regards to the story I just kind of brought up. Doc, was there anything on this album that you liked? Did you enjoy it? Like what was it? What was your takeaway?
So there's more Juicy J beats on here than I realized. I guess I didn't know that they had like that they worked together. I knew nothing about this going in except for Big Ol' Freak, which I had heard, right? And some of her freestyles. I knew she could rap because she
mm-hmm.
can.
Mm-hmm.
There's like one, two, there's three Juicy J beats on here. He's got a guest appearance. What is that right? One.
He's got a guest appearance.
He's got a guest appearance. Project Pat produces a beat on here.
What's the name of that record?
WAB with Super Mario.
Yeah, that is a Project Pat record, 100%.
I mean, it's a 3-6 Mafia sample.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, the way she's rapping on it, the way the beat switches, like it's super Project Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Super Project Pat.
Yeah, so there's a 3-6 kind of sound going on here, which is interesting to me. I don't know if the way that she raps is the best fit for that, always. Mm.
Okay.
I guess in general, like I thought that there was just honestly, it felt like a lot of filler on it. I feel like the beats didn't really live up to what I think she could do.
Yeah.
Like conceptually and content wise, like she's got, you know, she knows what she wants to rap about, right? She's no idiot, you know. She understands, you know. She did the photo shoot with, was it Rolling Stone or whatever, where you know, she was on the motorcycle. Like she understands the image that she is selling. I think. And interesting, at least from everything I have seen, and maybe this is wrong and the label is doing whatever, but like it seems as though maybe perhaps a little bit unlike female rappers who came before her, she seems to be embracing the fact that she is selling her sexuality, right?
Mm.
And that she is rapping about it and owning it.
Mm-hmm.
And has been since before she signed whatever she signed with 300, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like content-wise, I wasn't surprised by any of it. My biggest takeaway from this was, number one, I want to hear her on like top grade production,
because
this isn't it. Some of the Juicy J stuff is fine. That Project Pat beat sounds like a Project Pat beat, which is interesting. But like, I want to hear her on like top grade production because she can rap.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is sort of like, I want to see, I want to see what else she has to say. Yeah. Like, I'm curious enough and I'm like, all right. But like at a certain point in this album, I'm like, listen, like I get it. So like, you know, maybe it's because I'm 36 now, right? But it's like, you know, oh, cool, I get it. But like, I think she could be more than just, you know, you know, I mean, all you gotta do is read the song titles on here. You know what's going on, right? Hood Rat-ish, Shake That, Ratchet, Sex Talk. Like you could, she's gonna rap about what she wants to rap about. But like, just like male rappers have been rapping about, you know, stereotypical stuff since the dawn of time. But like, she has talent, right? Absolutely. And she has an image that she is owning. And so, like, I want to see, like, beats that can live up to what she can do. And I want to see, like, this is, they're still labeling this a mixtape, by the way.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
Very.
Because maybe that means, no. See, to me, that says that the success of Big Ol' Freak caught him by surprise.
Absolutely, it did. That you're delving into my.
Right.
My theory.
So, all in all, I walked away from this going, I didn't walk away from this thinking, yeah, there's stuff on here I really want to hear again. All that much, but I walked away going, yeah, okay. I'm definitely listening to the next thing she puts out.
Yeah. So my question was, okay, they're labeling this as a mixtape, so that kind of answers my question. That bails them out.
Right.
To a degree. Because I was thinking about, okay, so you and I have both talked about, on this show, we've talked about women and hip hop and how there doesn't need to be, you know, one woman. There's enough room. Clearly, there's enough room for, you know, different female talents, different female MCs, different female artists, whatever.
Right.
And for them to exist and for them to exist on a similar plane and not get in each other's way. And so with Megan, of course, she's going to get Cardi comparisons and Nicki comparisons because all three of them sell their sexuality. And you make a really interesting point about how, you know, in this culture where, you know, women are empowered more than ever for, you know, things that they do that have nothing to do with sexuality, nothing to do with their body. She, on the other hand, is like, nope, I'm very sexual. And that's my power. So Big Ol' Freak takes off. And yeah, it seems like it caught people off guard, but it's like, does it catch people off guard when you throw money behind it, when you throw a budget behind it? Like, you know, you set up things with GQ or Rolling Stone and Fader and all these top media outlets. Like, how off guard were you caught? You know, where none of your artists are in the way right now. You got everybody out the way. And at the same time, while you did all the solo Migo albums and you did Cardi stuff and all that, like, Megan was still able to have her own space. So, or to pretty much work the Big Ol' Freak record. So now that it's out, now the album is out, like she's got her own space to sort of breathe. So Big Ol' Freak was not at the level of a Bodak Yellow, right?
Right.
So, but it was catching a lot of steam. She was getting a lot of like fanfare from that. So was there a need for an album?
Yeah, I mean, unless there's a song on here that's obviously going to catch fire, I don't really think so.
Right. And so I don't know that because clearly she is not our audience. But at the same time, when we say that, you're a big fan of Lizzo. We've had listeners tweet us and talk about, have a discussion, our mentions about Lizzo and how they're fans of Lizzo. And these are men as well. So to a degree, that isn't necessarily like a way out. You know what I'm saying? Like where if you rap about certain things, you don't have to be a woman to really, you know, to, you don't have to just be a woman to embrace those things or to be entertained by those things. Right. So I guess I'm rambling, but I'm just trying to figure out like, was this necessary? I'm sure because a lot of this, it began to run into each other after a while.
Yeah.
But like, you know, do you put out more projects because it drives up the streaming numbers and then you hope that something catches on? You pull the Uzi or you pull the Schoolboy Q and you want, you know, you want something to go viral. Then when something goes viral, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the single. Like, I'm not sure. Or is it a thing where we are right now? Megan can come back out at the end of the year. Megan can come back out at the top of the year after I'm sure she's going to go on tour. She tours this album it does well, it builds up her momentum, and then maybe she's got something in the stash, or maybe the hope is that in 6 months this buys her enough time to craft something like better or more pronounced, I guess I should say, because to your point, I want to hear Megan talk about other stuff too. And so then that's when they have the more pronounced records, then they're like, oh yeah, 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 this is the album. Like, I'm not sure. And I'm very curious to see like where this goes, because yeah, I don't know yet.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about Megan Thee Stallion?
Nah, because I'm ready to talk about Tyler.
I was going to say, because I know you have a heart out. So we got 30 something minutes to talk about Tyler.
All right. Sorry, guys.
we're taking all 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we got more.
Oh, man. So where do we begin? So previously on Ready to Die, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Tyler comes out with Flower Boy,
mm-hmm.
which we both loved.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think for both of us, if not like best of the year, one of the best of the year, right?
Yeah, I think it was top five for both of us. I believe it was top three for me.
I can't think of what, I mean, I've got to remember what was in 2017, but like, it's got to be up there.
Yeah.
So Tyler started teasing new music from this, because he had been doing, I should actually say, in between Flower Boy and Igor, he was just putting out random Lucy's.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was rapping.
Mm-hmm. He did the Rocky record too.
Yeah.
The freestyle, yep.
Yep. What's the one? Is it 435? Is that the one where he's in the studio? No, what's it called? Is that right?
I don't know.
That beat is ridiculous. Tyler, is that right? Yeah, it's called 435. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yep. That was your joint. Yes.
Yeah, he crushes. That beat is unbelievable. So, you know, he was just like, he seemed like he was in full, like he was just like, he honestly, like, if I, like, looking at that stuff that he put out, I get it now. But at the time, I was sitting there going, huh. So that's really like he's really like he's in total command of being a rapper right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could do anything. And so we get Igor, where he's doing anything for sure. Not a lot of rapping.
Not a lot of rapping at all.
And I think some people might feel some kind of way about that, but
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I think even in 2019, people are still like, "Huh? So they're singing the whole time, huh?"
I still think people think that Tyler eats roaches and raps about the devil all the time.
But honestly, man, I just want to go track by track on this.
You know what? It's hard to.
It is. It is.
Because this album plays best when you let it run.
That is very true. Like, I can just tell you, like, I started listening to this on Friday. Friday night, Marissa and I went out to dinner. Because as I noted on the Patreon exclusive pre-show, which you can listen to by going to patreon.com/Sarah's podcast, I set my grill on fire, and not in a good way. Like literally on fire. So we went out to dinner Friday night, and because it was warm and I didn't want to cook inside. And Marissa was like, it was basically the play me the good stuff. So she wanted me to cut to the chase and play the good stuff. Well, and I was like,
you got 39 minutes?
Well, there's one song which I feel comfortable playing for. Like, I was like, yep, that's just an instant. Like, you hear that and like, yep, I'm good.
Okay, I'm curious to know what that is.
For some of these other songs, though, it's like, I need you to wait 90 seconds for the beat switch.
Yeah.
And then I need you. So you're right. It is a challenging, it is the opposite approach to music as what we talked about on side A of like what Chance the Rapper is doing with groceries and other people are doing with TikTok and Triller, right? Where it's like, there's not much here that is memeable or bite-sized.
No.
Now his videos, right? He did one for Earthquake. He did a teaser on Instagram for A Boy Is a Gun. Like, there appear to be very visually creative moments there that could be turned into like animated GIFs. But like, this is not music that is meant to be repackaged into bite-sized intervals, right?
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's like he has said, this needs to be like listened to as like one entire thing.
Yes.
In a sense, similar to somebody who has vocals in this album, Solange.
Yeah.
Right. That Solange album, there was some stuff you could pull out, but mm-hmm. it was meant to be listened to all the way through.
It was a vibe.
As the kids say, it was a vibe. As the kids say.
Yes.
But I have track by track notes.
Okay.
So we start with Igor's theme. These drums are knocking.
I even like the anticipation of the drums not kicking in for like 35 seconds.
So again, speaking to what I was talking about with playing this for Marissa, Marissa's like, you could see the look on her face like, is this going to be a synth for 3 minutes?
She's, there's enough awkward tension after maybe 10 seconds.
Right.
Where if you don't know Tyler, you're like, what is this?
I almost had a flashback to the opening song on Yeezus. Except.
On site?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right?
Except
yeah.
Kanye doesn't even play that out for that long. Now, this yeah. isn't as discordant as that opening synth on Yeezus is, but it's still like, you're like, okay. But the drums come in. We get Lil Uzi Vert on the hook.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that was Sid from the internet.
She's not on here at all.
Wow.
Lil Uzi
she's
Vert
not on the album?
No.
Wow. She's all over it. Okay.
Nope. I got credits. Don't worry.
Okay. Because no, you would.
In true 2019 fashion, there's no features listed. You have to go look into the credits. You don't just see it in the track listing. That Lil Uzi Vert hook is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was singing it all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got Solange. Maybe someone's on background vocals here, aside from Lil Uzi Vert. But it's interesting as a song because it's got everything a song has except for verses.
Yeah.
It's got an intro. It's got chorus. It's got some bridges. It's got this, but just no verses.
But wait, when you play the album out and you understand like that it's a storyline, it yes. makes sense that this is just an intro. It's literally like a theme song.
It totally is.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But I love this beat.
Spoiler alert, yeah. As much as we talk about the NERD, Chad and Hugo.
Oh my God, it's so obvious on here.
There's a lot of Kanye influence
yeah.
on here.
Well, let me
a
tell you.
A lot, more than people are talking about.
Here's how I tried to describe this album to Marissa before she heard it. You tell me if this is wrong.
Okay.
Somebody who came, this is made by somebody who came up on early Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-2000s NERD.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically made their own version of Andre's Love Below.
Mm. That's high praise.
It is. And I'm not saying it necessarily. I'm not saying it does or doesn't live up to that. I'm saying
yeah.
it's that yeah. kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's because the Love Below conceptually is a very pronounced love story, right?
Yes.
And but, this also is a very pronounced love story.
But also, here's a guy who, if he wanted to, could put out a ridiculous, ridiculous rap album. Yeah. Much like Andre 3000 could have in 2003.
I feel like he did, though. I feel like Cherry Bomb was a ridiculous rap album.
Sure.
Yeah. I understand, here's a guy at the peak of his
rapping ability. And he's like, nah, I'm doing this instead.
Which is probably why he put out those Lucy's.
Oh, right. Now it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm going to get this out the way. So if you're angry about that, you can go back and listen to these.
I kind of want like just him and Rocky should just do like an EP of Lucy's.
They're supposed to be doing a joint album.
Well,
I'm here for it.
Just do five songs. Don't build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does have to be a lot. And Rocky could fit on records like these. He could fit on these Neptune's Kanye style records. Like you don't have to make hard odd future records, which I'm sure he's gonna do, but you could do both.
If anything, I'd rather hear ASAP on like the Lush stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you hear no. So that's what I was talking about with those taking those late 90s samples and adding trap drums. Did you hear the ASAP Ferg single with Rocky?
I don't think so. What song is that?
Let me play okay. it for you.
Oh,
hold on.
Oh.
Where is it at? Okay, there it is. All right, hold on. Let's turn this up. All right, let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
Where my dogs at? We right here.
dogs at? Right here, dog. Where my dogs at?
We right so here, mad dog. Right now.
Where my dogs at?
Nope. Just turn it off.
They're going back and forth like kissing styles.
So
Rocky
mad
and
now.
Rocky and Ferb.
Nope. That's terrible.
There you go. That's what New York is doing. Well, they've been doing that for a while, but they're absolutely doing it now. Anyway, Tyler, Igor's theme. Yes.
I'm so mad right now. You threw me off. Igor's theme is dope. Can we move? We got a time limit here. We got to
all right,
pick
we
this
got
to
keep moving. Yep.
Earthquake, which got a video release.
Mm-hmm. Had my wife in it.
Who's your wife? I didn't watch the video.
Tracee Ellis Ross.
Oh, okay. I want to love every part of this, but like, I'm not really here for Playboi Carti.
This is one of the records that I don't really listen to an album. Like I'm cool with it, but I don't love it like I love the other 95%.
Charlie Wilson coming in for the Don't Leave, It's My Fault part is just, oh, so good. This is not a perfect song, but even an imperfect song has parts of it that I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like,
I think he's kind of undefeated. I think all of the transitions on this album are perfect.
Mm.
Like, I don't have a transition where I'm like, all of them are like, yes, all of them.
I like Earthquake. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I'm close, but not there. Not all the way.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, this is an interesting song. I love these drums. I really wasn't expecting him to like interpolate the synth melody from Kanye's Stronger.
Oh my God. See, and I didn't catch it until I heard it on speakers. I just heard it through my headphones and I was talking to friend of the show, Wit, and he pointed it out and I was kind of confused. Oh, this is 100% Tyler's interpretation of Stronger.
Oh, he's completely. Even rapping like Kanye on,
yes.
on the, yeah.
Yes.
No, this song is not perfect. But I love the bridge. I love the overall progression of the song. Which is like mostly how I describe a lot of the stuff on this album. I would have sworn that was Kali Uchis on the
Me
on
too.
The hook.
Who is that?
I think it's Solange.
Wow.
She's the only vocalist who pops up in the credits on that song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. I heard that. I was like, that's Kali. Nope. How do you feel? Do you like I Think?
I love this record.
Really?
I love I Think. I Think is fire.
The Stronger synths throw me off.
Gotcha. See, but I never loved Stronger like everybody else did.
I'm not even saying I loved it. I'm just saying like it's a really weird thing to me. I don't know.
Mm.
It's still good, just not to me, not great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This record's okay. Fire.
So after that, we get a little interlude, which whatever. And then we get Running Out of Time.
Yep.
This song to me is like a real slow burner.
Yes.
But when those drums kick in?
Yes. This record is crazy.
Can I ask you, do you think he's running those NERD synths into the ground a little too
nope.
much?
Nope. No, I don't.
Okay.
Nope.
Just asking.
Yeah, nah. Do you?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I feel like in a sense, actually, I think his production, I feel like for a while he was almost getting a little bit more like Pharrell with Hans Zimmer, like a little bit more like orchestral.
Yeah. It's particularly on
Flower Boy.
Flower Boy, yep.
But even stuff on Cherry Bomb, right?
Yeah, stuff on Cherry Bomb for sure, yep.
But this is so 2000, like this is Fly or Die NERD.
Absolutely.
Like in every possible way. But yeah, Running Out of Time. Yeah, I like it. It's dope.
Yeah. Great, great record. Love it.
How do you feel about New Magic Wand?
Another slow burner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another slow burner. It's not a record that I go to like individually, but it's cool.
I don't really love Tyler's vocals on here. The beat is weird. I don't know. I'm not really there with this song, but like you said, it's a short song. You listen to it in the context of the album and it works and the transitions work and all that. But like, I'm not there with New Magic Wand yet.
Gotcha.
But A Boy Is a Gun. Oh my God.
I figured you'd like this record.
Oh my God. First of all, This beat, are you kidding me? It's the same sample as Kanye's Bound To.
Yeah.
So Tyler produced the unreleased Bound One. And I wonder,
oh, did he?
Yeah. And I wonder how much this resembles Bound One. You know what I mean? How it's one of those things where it's like, well, Kanye never used that sample flip. Let me repurpose it.
Mm-hmm.
But the melodies on this, like, this is a weird term to use when you talk about a song, but like, this song is gorgeous. Like, I love, like, this song is unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is by far the best song on the album. And this is the song where, like, someone's like, play me something I was talking about. I'm like, a boy is a gun. Like, 100%.
Interesting. Okay.
And he's rapping well. And, like, it's just, yeah, everything. It's everything.
Yeah. It's a record that I loved the first time I heard it. And the more I heard it, the less I liked it. I think it was such a high the first time I heard it that it just, there was nowhere else to go but down.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it. Uh-huh. It's not a record that I go to. Like, I always go to I Think. Like, I Think's my favorite record to listen to.
Oh.
Running Out of Time is fire. There's some other ones we're about to get into that I really, really like. But A Boy is a Gun is not where I go to.
Okay. That concludes. No, just kidding. Let's talk about Puppet, your boy Kanye West.
So I text you.
Yeah.
And I asked, like, yo, where's Kanye at? Because I saw the credits, the picture that Kanye or that Tyler posted. And you said, yeah, he's on Puppet. And I'm like, he's on Puppet? And I listened to Puppet. And I'm like, he's on Puppet. Like, he's clearly on Puppet.
Yeah. He's on Puppet, but in true Tyler fashion, he's mixed very low. I've never heard Kanye's vocals mixed so low on a song in my life.
I'm happy with it.
This song gets off to a bit of a rocky start, but once the drums kick in, it's in good shape.
Yeah.
I love the beat switch at the end too.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a record that I was kind of on. This is like the other side of A Boy is a Gun, where I was cool on it when I first heard it, but the more I heard it, the more I liked it.
Mm. This is a nice little run to me, like Boys a Gun, Puppet, and I really like What's Good.
Oh, What's Good is fire.
Like, when that kicks in, like, the tempo of the album is just like, oh, we're going somewhere.
Oh my God. Wow, What's Good is so crazy.
The beat switch is fine. It's fine, but the rest of the song is great.
Yeah, the record's crazy.
Of course, NERD synths all over the place here.
Of course.
Yeah. Gone, and Thank You, a combo song here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing two different. Oh, yeah, okay. So this is, I was going to say, I think I see two different people listed as who sing on this, but this is an uncredited CeeLo Green singing about love being gone, and it totally works.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it's something that I don't go to. It sounds better in the context of the whole album, but I'm not like, yo, I want to hear Gone Gone.
Like, Tyler is so deep in his feels.
Yeah.
Like, this relationship is just falling apart.
Yeah. Like, suddenly.
Well, kind of. I mean, it's not off to a great, like, it's all right. Like, you know, when he's singing about how he's running out of time to make you love me.
Yeah.
That's not
right.
Not a good sign in a relationship. Right. And that was five songs before this. So by Gone Gone, man, he is just deep in there. And of course, Gone Gone gets a beat switch, which mostly works. But Thank You. When I say Fly or Die NERD.
Yo, Thank You is ridiculous.
I looked at the credits. I was like, did Pharrell help on this?
I feel like Tyler just makes music and doesn't even involve Pharrell now. I think he just calls him like a little brother, like, look what I got.
Right.
And just like for Pharrell's approval. Yeah, Thank You's nuts.
Thank You's great, for sure. And then we go into I Don't Love You Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
With Solange, again, uncredited vocals. I don't know. I like this song. Like, with all Tyler songs, like, it kind of grows and changes as the song goes on. But
yeah,
I think it's good.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we get the closer, which this is going to be his end of the set festival closeout song.
Yeah,
absolutely. Are we Still Friends?
Yep.
With a ridiculously great Al Green sample.
Yep.
You know, Tyler is singing a little, he's a little pitchy dog at times. But like,
but that's the point. That's the charm.
Sure, yeah. That's the charm. Right.
Yep.
He brings in Jack White from the White Stripes to do the guitar solo on this. And then Pharrell pops in at the end. When you read the lyrics on Genius, it sounds like an excerpt from Common's The Future of AI, except
more AI.
Except Pharrell is singing it. He's doing that fake deep woke thing that Pharrell does sometimes, which is true in true NERD fashion.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot lately. I don't know how I feel about it.
But I love, like, Are We Still Friends? It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
So heartbreaking.
It's kind of hard to listen to. It's kind of hard to listen to now.
Yeah.
A couple listens in, I'm like, all right, okay, Tyler, all right.
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
Are We Still Friends?
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, I don't love it like I love some of the other stuff on the album, but I understand its place in it, so I'm not mad at it. Its place in the whole project.
Can you imagine being 16 years old and hearing Are We Still Friends?
Yeah, my daughter's gonna be in high school next year. I don't want to.
You can't. You're gonna be like you've just gone through some terrible whatever, and you're just gutted by this. This album would gut like a teenager, right?
Speaking of my daughter, Random. Remember we had the conversation about getting cable so that your kids can get your passwords. Yeah. My daughter definitely just asked for my Hulu password. So here we are. Anyway, Tyler.
And that wraps up the album. It is a tidy 39 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which it's really easy to just let it keep playing.
Yeah.
It just wraps right around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different from Solange, where at times Solange's album feels like a scattered 39 minutes. And this is a very focused 39 minutes.
Yeah. I think Solange's album almost, I actually think it kind of drags a little bit.
Yeah. It does itself a disservice. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So overall, how do you feel about this?
This album is fantastic. Like, I know we were like, yeah, this is cool. And yeah, this is the, like with all that said, this is the Tyler that it's weird. This is the Tyler that I knew he was capable of on Cherry Bomb. But now I know he's capable of more than this. Like, he's getting into that upper echelon. You kind of messed me up by asking if he does the NERD chords too much. Because now I'm like, I don't even want to hold him to that. Because I'm always here for NERD chords.
I know.
Because Pharrell and Chad aren't giving me NERD chords. So where else am I going to get it? Excuse me. So this album is amazing. It should be nominated for a Grammy next year.
It probably will be.
It's amazing. It's an amazing album. Tyler, the Creator, is a freaking genius. And I've been saying it since Wolf. And I will continue to say it. He's a freaking genius. It's an excellent album. What about you?
I think it's really, really good. I don't know if it's excellent. It's a weird kind of album because it truly, you have to judge it as an album.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get someone into this if they're not already either agreed. like if they're not on the Tyler wave or if they're not like ready for something like this. You can't just like if you wanted to get someone into Flower Boy, right? You could try See You Again. You could see how they feel about maybe Boredom. You can
those
hook
are the
them.
Two records of a group.
Right. I mean, for me, like I will like listen to 911 like all day. Right. But like
911 was good. Yep.
Right. Like they're like, I think that he's made albums maybe that have higher highs, individual sure. highs, like songs that are meant to be taken out. And like, this is a thing, but
sure.
this is the kind of album that is just gonna like, it's just gonna play on. Like it's gonna have a long life. Right. It's
yeah.
It's not, you know, because it's just, it. You really have to kind of like sit with it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think for me, one thing I think will be interesting to see is like, so the critical reception has been really good. Commercially, I'm not expecting a whole lot because there's just like, you know.
Yeah, nah. He right? just got radio play on Flower Boy.
Right, and that was stuff like Who That Boy or 911, which were a bit more like obvious for radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna. I think he's going to tour off this. I told Marissa, I was like, I'm not missing him next time. I got to see him on tour this time.
I just don't know if I want to be in a room with a bunch of Odd Future fans.
I think he's getting away from that, right?
But are his fans letting him get away from that?
You mean, is it going to be like when I saw Childish Gambino live and people were screaming for him to play songs from Camp?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a problem for sure. But, I don't know. I want to see him live. I want to see what it translates like live. I missed out on the tour for Flower Boy. I told Marissa, I was like, I'm going this time. I want to see what the tour is like. I'm just frankly like, not to look past this already, but like, where does he go next? Cause like oftentimes, not always, but like, so there are like two pathways when hip hop artists go down this sort of path. And I'm not saying that these albums are similar exactly, but like, so Andre making Love Below, we didn't know it at the time, but was mostly unofficially the end of him as an artist. It was mostly. He went down that road and he never really fully came back from it.
Yeah.
On the flip side.
Well, end of a rapper.
Of an era.
Say end of an artist. Yeah, end of an era. Yeah, I'd say that. Yes.
Whereas someone like Kanye, who reinvented himself every time, Kanye could do 808s and then still come back and do Dark Twisted Fantasy like it was nothing.
Yep.
So like, I guess what I want to see is like, does Tyler think that this is just, this is my 2019 iteration and my 2021 iteration is going to be totally different? Or does he see this as, this is my path? Because like, I hope he doesn't like totally shy away from rapping, because dude can rap.
Yeah. I don't think he will.
But you know what I mean? Like, is he going to go all the way down? Like, is the future for him where he's just more of a singer and a producer than a rapper? Or is this just, this is where he's at right now?
Because then you have to go back to the Lucy's. He's still rapping on the Lucy's.
For sure.
But just maybe it's like, I don't want to rap for long periods of time.
Mm.
And I mean, Kanye kind of doesn't do that either. Like he won't rap until 2 minutes into a song. There'll be lots of melody and lots of hooks and bridges, and then he'll rap, you know. But then look at a record like Highlights, where he doesn't rap until 2.5 minutes in. I think his first verse is really like a hook in itself. And then it's one long verse that's like 40 bars, you know? Like, I could see Tyler playing in that bag if he wanted to, but it just doesn't seem like Tyler's interested in rapping for long, extended periods of time.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, like, all right.
I mean, this is really dope. So like, it's cool. Like, let's appreciate it while we have it.
Pretty much. Yeah, I think that's where I want to go with it. I'm not sure where he's going to go next, but frankly, I don't care, because he's just in that place where he's just bodying it, and I'm just enjoying it.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about this album?
The album is phenomenal. It's understated how much Running Out of Time, I think, and what's good, like how fire they are. It's understated, even by Clock Radio speakers standards. It's just fire music. I'm really happy for him that he's kept this up for that long. But yeah, I'm done.
All right. Well, as always, thank you everybody for listening to this week's Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think about all the music that we talked about. Hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter. Armand, you got anything you want to plug or promote?
I'll share for our listeners, new music in June, all throughout June, every week in June, I'm putting out some sort of content that will start June 5th. Cairo's Culture Capsule number one. It is on the way. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll be back at some point soon.
Oops.